Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Today's Tuesday, January the 7th, 2025. So it's a brand new year, and joining me in studio is Wesley Wildman. Good morning, Wesley.
Good morning.
Good morning, Chris Woodward.
Good morning.
We are in Tupelo, MS, and in Kansas City, KS. Hunkered down is our good friend Ray Pritchard. Ray, what? No, you told me the other day it was Snowmageddon or something. What happened?
Snowmageddon 25. You know, there's been this winter storm moving from west to east, and the other night it started sleeting about, you know, 5 or 6 o'clock in the evening. And we had sleet and freezing rain for about 8 or 10 hours, and then we had almost maybe more, maybe 12 straight hours of snow. And by the time it was done, I had a drift outside my door 21 inches high. I mean, that is, I think, we were in Chicago for 17 years, so used to seeing snow. But one of the differences between Chicago and Kansas City, you don't get a lot of ice in Chicago. You get a lot of snow.
Yeah.
But here in Kansas City, you get all those hours of ice, and then you get the tons of snow on top of it. And about 2 hours ago, it said it was -2. Here in Shawnee. Now it's up to 7 right now. I'm against that. I'm against single digit temperatures.
I know.
There's just something gone wrong with the world.
I know.
I'm writing that down. We're going to start it. We're going to put together a petition.
That's yeah. Right. We got to do something about this, Wesley. We got to put a stop to this.
Yeah, something has to change.
Join me. I'm forming a hate group against winter.
Well, that, and I'm supporting global warming.
We've got to warm this globe. Or we can take the positive approach and be supportive of something and support global warming.
That's right. We've been looking
man-made.
For some here in Kansas City.
Man-made.
We can't find it yet.
I know.
It's called a heater.
Well, now seriously, that causes, and I was watching some of the weather yesterday, crossing Kansas across the Midwest over to the East Coast, and I guess, I don't know, north of Kentucky and central Missouri. It was just a stockpile of, however you want to say it, snow and ice stacked on stacked.
And the videos of those cars and trucks spinning on the internet.
What do you do? Let me ask you this. How long will it be before you can get out?
You know, not yesterday, but what is today? Today's Tuesday. So it was Sunday night. They sent out an alert. Do not drive on any of the highways in Kansas. They didn't say Kansas City.
Right. the whole state.
The whole state. Do not drive on any roads in Kansas. Now, they've lifted that, and everybody's out and about. And if you've, you know, we got the snowblower out.
That's
and all
right.
of that.
I was gonna say, they've got the equipment, I'm sure. Still may take time to clear the roads, but they.
Yeah. I was just thinking still you've got that ice pack down below the snow. I don't, anyway, if something like that, hey Ray, you're from Alabama. You know
That's
what I'm
right.
about to say. If something like that, something like what happened to you guys there in Kansas City happened to us.
We have Christmas break number 2.
It would be, they would be studying us 1,000 years from now.
It's
a civilization lost.
frozen in time.
Yeah, they were
literally.
They uncovered these people that didn't have any idea
what to do with this,
how to handle that. Well, that's just wow. I just can't imagine what.
In all seriousness, we be very careful out there. And don't get in too big of a hurry to the point where you have a wreck or cause somebody to get injured.
Yeah.
There's a lot of that going around.
I'm just curious, by the way, I watched the Denver Broncos and the Kansas City Chiefs Sunday, I guess it was. And I was wondering, how are the Chiefs getting back to Kansas City in the midst of that storm? Do you know anything about that? Did they fly back in?
They finally got back, but on Saturday, because of this big storm, they sat on the tarmac somewhere between 3 and 4 hours in Kansas City, loaded up, but they couldn't take off. Maybe the frustration of that explains the way the game played out on Sunday.
Oh.
Because the Chiefs really didn't even show up.
They didn't care.
They
could have just forfeited.
That's right.
It didn't matter.
It would have been better.
It would have been better just to forfeit. They didn't care. Well, we got a lot to talk about today. Our good friend Frank Turek will be coming along in just a few minutes. Before we get into the hard news, we're going to ask you about that, Wesley, about our upcoming conference this summer when it's going to be warm. I wanted to ask you, how many geese did you and your brother take down?
Walker and I were really upset with the geese. Okay, we got real mad at them.
Y'all went to Arkansas hunt geese with some friends, right?
Yeah, we have an annual hunt once a year. There's a core group of guys. They've been going for 6 years. They had a couple guys drop off 3 years ago, and they asked Walker and I. So for the last three seasons.
Oh, you have to be invited to this club.
Club, yeah. Well, what happens is it's a group of guys from church. They know each other, and they've been going. Well, when a couple guys weren't able to go for different reasons, they were looking to fill. They take 10 guys.
They wanted some people that didn't drink and cuss.
That's right. There you go. Okay, that's
okay,
right.
I got you.
And so
okay.
We went to Stuttgart, Arkansas, and we shot 50 birds, 50 geese on the first morning, and we shot 86 the next morning. So
good.
A lot of geese.
Yeah, that's a lot of geese. That's a lot of ammo.
A lot of geese,
too.
Yeah. And you would be thoroughly surprised. It's a nuisance there. They actually, in February, they lift all restrictions and there's no limits.
Too many geese?
Yeah, there's too many.
Skies are filled with geese. And they
The biggest problem ultimately is they mess up the farmland, ultimately.
Okay. I just know Central Arkansas is known
for. It's a sport, too. I'm not hiding the fact it's not a sport either.
I just know Central Arkansas is known for duck hunting, but I didn't know it was known for geese hunting.
Both.
Oh, both.
Both.
Okay.
Yep.
All right, so anyway.
A lot of fun. We got to finish up the holidays or the Christmas season of going on our annual goose hunt, but now we're back in the real world,
right.
And it's really cold here.
Yes, it is. It's freezing cold across most of the country right now.
72 days until spring for anybody that wants to know.
Oh, can't get here soon enough. All right, so go ahead, Wesley. We've got a big conference coming up here in the summer, right?
We do, and our guest that's coming on here in a few minutes, Frank Turek, he's going to be at the conference as a main speaker as well. And this summer, what we're talking about now is going to be our annual conference here in Tupelo, Mississippi, at the town of our headquarters. And it is called Activate Biblical Bedrock. So we're going to discuss the building on the authority of Scripture. We have Ed Vitagliano, Abraham Hamilton III, Todd Herman, Frank Turek, and Dr. Alex McFarland are our keynote speakers. And Jenna Ellis and a few others will be a part of some panel discussions.
Does Jenna know she's not a keynote?
She does now.
I mean, that seems kind of sexist to me.
It does, doesn't it?
You named all males, and you said, and by the way, Jenna Ellis will be attending.
Yeah.
We need to reverse that before we get sued. Well, but anyway, go ahead.
You know what? Good catch. I'm making a note.
I'm making a note. But anyway, it's going to be a fantastic conference. It's going to be here in Tupelo, Mississippi. It's this summer. We welcome everybody to come. We're trying to keep the cost down. It's going to be a dynamic conference focused on what now?
The authority of Scripture.
Okay. And it's June 12th through the 14th. That's right.
And as we have done in years past with Marriage, Family, Life Conference, we're going to have a track for the kids ages 6 through 12.
Okay.
That will be a kid's version of what will be taught in the main session.
Okay.
A Kendra.
So you can bring your kids.
Kendra White.
Yeah.
Most people know it's Kendra White. She's been married. Kendra Knox is her married name. She's overseeing and coordinating the content.
Okay.
She's responsible for Rhonda Frades and a lot of other things.
So it's going to be kind of like our Marriage Family Life Conference.
Very similar.
We've held before. Okay, so how can people go read about it and register?
Yes, you can go to activate.afa.net. That's activate.afa.net. All the details are there. The reason we're mentioning it this morning is because we came back from New Year's break and realized that this could have got lost with a lot of people. That is the early bird special. So the reason we're mentioning today is there's an early bird special.
That's cruel, Wes.
20% off.
There.
20% off.
We just talked about taking these birds out of the air, and now you've got an early bird special.
I was wondering where you were going with that. No. I just said there's nothing.
I just don't think that's appropriate.
We're giving them 20% off. How's that cruel? Okay. But I see what
it's an early bird special.
20
early birds get the worm and get
that kind of thing.
Okay. So I'm sorry. Go ahead.
20% off up until June the 10th. So 20% off up until June 10th if you use the code Early bird 20.
Can I interrupt you just a second? You just said early bird special up until June the 10th.
January 10th.
Okay, because
that's a big difference.
Early bird special, that's 2 days before the conference.
Yes, sir.
Okay, so you meant to say January.
Yeah, I want to blame you for distracting me.
Well, you can't blame your dad for everything. Okay. So you got to take responsibility for your own actions.
As an adult, right?
Yes, go. So early bird special, January 10th. So 3 days.
That's right.
Take advantage of that.
20% off.
20% off. How much is the cost? You know,
it's $75 for an adult for a 3-day conference. That includes a couple meals.
You can't beat that.
Mm-mm. And then it's $50 for kids ages 6 through 12, and it's free for kids 5 and under.
Okay.
If you got a kid or a baby 5 and under,
you're gonna babysit?
No.
Five and under?
No, we're not offering that. We just offer a kids course. We got a kids course 6 through 12.
Yeah. What do you do with 5 and under?
The parents have to figure that out.
Okay. They sit on the knee.
They sit on the back row.
They get in freeze, what you're saying.
That's right. They get in.
Okay. Go ahead one more time with the website, and then we'll move on.
That's activate.afa.net. All the details of what we're discussing. So AFA's annual conference. Go check it out at activate.afa.net.
And the speaking lineup includes Ed Battagliano, Abraham Hamilton III, Todd Herman, Dr. Alex McFarland, and Dr. Frank Turek, who's on the phone with us right now from the Tar Heel State of North Carolina. Good morning, Frank.
Man, you got to be a bird brain not to take that early deal.
I knew you had time to come up with something.
That's right.
Bird brain to deal. No, Nikki Haley won't be speaking.
No.
Okay. I'm not calling Nikki Haley a bird brain.
It's not because she defeated
other people have.
President Trump called her a bird brain. All right, so Frank, you've been traveling the world, have you?
Well, we just got back a couple weeks ago from a trip to Egypt and Saudi Arabia, and we were out there looking at, of course, evidence for the Exodus, and
I think we
got some evidence for the Exodus. Well, I took a group of about 28 people with me, and we had a guide over there in Egypt who was a Christian, great guy, and saw a lot in Egypt, and then we flew over to Saudi Arabia, and I think the best evidence shows that the real Mount Sinai is in Saudi Arabia, not the Sinai Peninsula. I think the real Mount Sinai is Jabal al-Lawz, which is in Arabic means the Mountain of Almonds. Right next to it is the Mountain of Moses. So we actually climbed that mountain, and we put a lot of video on our YouTube channel, the Cross-Examined YouTube channel, particularly in the shorts. You can see some of these videos, and we're going to be putting a lot more up here in the coming weeks.
In your shorts?
Shorts, in my shorts, that's right. They're short videos. They're videos that are 90 seconds or less.
Oh, I got you. I didn't think you could wear shorts in the Saudi kingdom.
Yeah, actually, they've, the Saudis have gotten a little bit more modern now. It's not required that the women are completely covered anymore. And they can actually drive now.
What?
I don't know if you know that.
So you got some backsliding Muslims right there, which you got.
That's right.
Sounds like to me. All right, well, let me ask you this. Talk about that. Saudi Arabia, why do you think – I remember what was my friend's name that you knew? That
Bob Cornuke.
I haven't talked to Bob in so long.
Yeah.
I'm getting older, can't remember. Bob Cornuke, and he went over there just 25 years ago or so to the same place, mm-hmm. right? Or
that's right. Yeah, he's been there. Several others have been there since then. Joel Richardson is a author you may have heard of. He's been there several times.
So you think you think it's the real Mount Sinai? You're convinced of that?
Well, I'm 80% convinced. You can't be absolutely sure.
Right,
but
I
there's
know.
So many there's so much circumstantial evidence around this mountain that suggests it is. First of all, it is called the Mountain of Moses. Jabal al-Musa and Jabal al-Lawz are right next to one another. Secondly, there is a petroglyphs of cows and people worshiping cows around the mountain. Hmm. There's an altar at the base of the mountain and a corral that appears to have been a place where they would bring animals to be sacrificed. There's what we think is the Split Rock of Horeb. They can see all this on our YouTube channel. Just go to the
Tell me where to
channel.
Go look. Go.
Cross-Examine YouTube channel. Two words, Cross-Examine. If you scroll down to where you'll see videos, you see a little tab at the top says shorts. If you go down there and you scroll through the shorts, you'll see one where I'm standing in a graveyard, which we think could be the graveyard where perhaps the 3,000 that were killed as a result of worshiping the golden calf were buried. There's an altar. Did Moses build this altar? YouTube. There is the Moses, the split rock. You can see that. If you go down a little further, you'll see me in Egypt in front of the pyramids. You'll see me in front of what's called the Merneptah Stela. Merneptah was a pharaoh just after Ramses the Great in Egypt, who actually mentions that he conquered Israel. And it says Israel was laid waste. Now, this particular stela is just a word for a standing stone, which has writing on it. This particular stela comes from 1208 B.C., and it seems to indicate that the Jews must have been in the land known as Israel prior to 1208 B.C., quite obviously, in order for them to become a people group that Merneptah, the pharaoh, could then conquer. And so this fits better with a 1446 date for the Exodus, which is what the Bible seems to say, than a 1200s date for the Exodus, which some scholars seem to say. Mm-hmm. And I explain that in this short little video.
Ray, what are your thoughts on this?
Frank, this is fascinating. You know, I'm just thinking about some of our listeners. What would you say to the question somebody would say, well, does it matter? Is it important? Obviously, we Christians believe the Exodus really happened.
Yes.
Liberals on the other side say no. In no version of history, the Exodus really happened. What difference does this kind of research make in helping us understand the truth of God's word?
Yeah, well, I think the more evidence you can bring forward to show that God's word is telling the truth, of course, that helps us. That just points out that the Bible is telling the truth. Now, you don't need this evidence to say that the Exodus really occurred. Why do I think the Exodus occurred? Because Jesus, who rose from the dead, said that the Old Testament was the word of God. So if Jesus, who rose from the dead, claims and proves to be God by rising from the dead, I'm just going to trust whatever he says, okay? However, there is evidence, and I did a show not long ago here on the American Family Radio Network, which were, I think it's titled something like eight pieces of evidence from Egypt that show the Exodus occurred. So they can go back and listen to that or go to our YouTube channel and watch that. So there's evidence in Egypt. I think there's evidence in Saudi Arabia that, yes, the Exodus did, in fact, occur.
Hey, I'm just curious. You talked some about modern-day Saudi Arabia. Did you fly from Cairo to...
To Book. Book is a town, a city in northwest Saudi Arabia. And we think the crossing point across the Red Sea was the Gulf of Aqaba, particularly a place called Nuweiba, which is, if I know this is radio, but if everyone can picture the Sinai Peninsula for a second, you see Egypt's on the left, then you have the Sinai Peninsula, and then on the right, you have Saudi Arabia. Well, there are two bodies of water, one between Egypt and the Sinai Peninsula. That's what's called the Red Sea. But the other side between the Sinai Peninsula and Saudi Arabia is also called the Red Sea. We today know it as the Gulf of Aqaba. But that particular section of water is where we think the crossing of the Red Sea took place from the Sinai Peninsula into Saudi Arabia.
Wow, that is so cool, so fascinating. I hope to go there maybe one day, see that myself. That's really, you know, Ray, so you're saying that there are liberal scholars who deny that the Exodus even happened at all?
Yes.
Oh, absolutely. Yep. They would. Well, Frank, you can speak.
So what they say is some kind of myth, like Bigfoot or something?
Oh, yeah, it's a myth, which means that the most celebrated religious festival in history, the Passover, was based on a myth.
Oh, good
Come on.
Grief.
Really? Good. You think it was a myth? It wasn't a myth. Let me give you one piece of evidence that the Hebrews were in Egypt. It comes from the oldest inscription ever discovered with the name Yahweh. Do you know where it comes from? It comes from Sudan, which at the time was part of Egypt. And there's two inscriptions down there, which talk about the nomads of Yahweh. And these scriptures, or I should say these inscriptions, are dated to 1400 BC. Now, why would there be inscriptions in ancient Egypt from 1400 BC that talk about the nomads of Yahweh?
Mm-hmm. Talking about
if
the Jews.
If the Exodus never occurred, if the Hebrews were never in Egypt.
Hebrews. Mm-hmm.
Why would they say this?
They wouldn't.
The only people group we know who ever worshiped Yahweh were the Hebrews.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Wesley,
I was
going to
add something.
Yeah, go ahead.
Kind of on the same topic, but just sharing some thoughts here on liberal
theologians
or pastors or whatever. I have a hard time understanding why they spend so much time trying to disprove the Bible, and at the expense of what? Because I understand why someone would apologetically defend the Bible, because that person,
like Frank does,
I understand that, because we believe that it produces salvation, produces liberty, produces fruit. Like, that's a good thing. But to take so much time to say these things didn't occur, I don't know what would be their reason for that. Because if they don't believe it didn't occur, then who cares?
Yeah,
I mean, like. Go ahead, Frank.
I think a lot of times, I can't say this for everybody quite obviously, but a lot of times it's a moral reason, not an intellectual reason.
Fair enough.
If the Bible is true and God does exist, he puts moral commands on us or demands on us that people don't want to follow. That's why I always ask everybody who is not a Christian, if Christianity were true, would you become a Christian?
Mm.
In fact, I asked one of my guides on this trip who was a Muslim. I asked him, if Jesus really rose from the dead to prove he was God, would you follow him?
Mm.
And to his credit, he said, yes.
Mm.
I said, well, investigate it then.
Right.
Look at the evidence.
So back to the Red Sea. So have you heard, I've heard in the past where liberal theologians will say, some of them will say it wasn't a miracle, but so many natural things happened for it to part. Where would you fall on that? Like, you know what I mean? Like, they try to explain it away, but they're not saying it didn't happen.
Or it was
they'll say that Santorini exploded and sent some sort of natural event to a strong wind to part the Red Sea.
Yeah.
Actually, the Bible talks about a strong wind, that God brought up a strong east wind. The problem with that is you then also have to say that just at the right time, the wind died down to take out the entire Egyptian army.
Right.
Right.
Exactly.
I mean, there's too many coincidences here, you know.
It's a miracle.
When I hear and listen to these folks who try to deny the Bible or say that it's not true, and then they want to use the kinds of things you just mentioned, for example, we just passed the Christmas season, and a lot of liberal theologians would say you can't, the Virgin Mary, that's a myth. You can't have, you know, the
Virgin. Sure, that's good.
So I would say to them, I would say, yes, under normal circumstances, you can't part the Red Sea.
Yes.
Under normal circumstances, a woman who has not had relations with a man can't have a baby. That is a true statement, but we are talking about God Almighty.
And man, all things.
Go ahead.
And Tim, that has to be the case for us to identify a miracle.
Yes.
You know, if you could do these things naturally, then a miracle from God wouldn't get our attention as a special act of God. So you need these natural events to do what they do over and over again. Otherwise, we couldn't even identify miracles.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen, brother. Frank, what's coming up this weekend on your show?
We're going to have Melissa Doherty on with her new book, Happy Lies. There's a lot of lies out there that people believe, and we're going to try and expose them.
Okay, thank you, Frank. Appreciate it, my friend.
All right, God bless, brother. See you.
Okay, that's Frank Turek, T-U-R-E-K. Frank is host of the Cross Examine show. When we get back from the break, I'll tell you when you can listen this weekend on AFR.
If we learned anything from this election, it's how important it is for us to fight, fight, fight. We also learned how desperately the left wants to fight to take babies' lives, which is why every day Preborn Ministries fights for the babies. Preborn's network of clinics are positioned in the highest abortion areas fighting for mothers deciding between the life and death of their child. Preborn welcomes these women with God's love and offers them a free ultrasound to introduce their precious baby and hear the beautiful heartbeat. This amazing encounter gives her baby a fighting chance, and the majority of the time, she will choose life. Would you join Preborn in the fight for life? One ultrasound is just $28, and $140 will sponsor five ultrasounds. And now, through a match, your gift is doubled. Babies are worth fighting for. To donate, dial #250 on your cell and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby, or visit preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR. All gifts are tax deductible, and Preborn has a 4-star charity rating. Fight, fight, fight for the babies.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@AFR.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at AFR.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. Tim, Wesley, Chris, and Ray, and Frank Turek was our guest the last 15 or 20 minutes, talking about a fascinating trip he just got back from to Egypt and Saudi Arabia, visiting a site that he believes is the, could very well be, how about it, I put it that way, the place of the crossing of the Red Sea by the Hebrews, mentioned in the Bible, and the Exodus, if you will. So Frank's show this weekend will be on American Family Radio, the station you're listening to right now, Saturday at 9 o'clock Central Time. Saturday at 9 o'clock Central Time, and Sunday we will replay it at 4 o'clock Central Time right here on American Family Radio. Frank Turek, host of Cross Examined. And Ray, I want to ask you something, because in the Bible, if you read through the Old Testament, I'm trying to think how much it's mentioned in the New Testament, but I know repeated in the Old Testament over and over and over again, of course, the Old Testament being the story of the Jews, the Hebrews, children of Israel, whatever you want to call them, and their relationship to Yahweh, or Almighty God. And that is, God reminds them over and over and again that he brought them out of the bondage of Egypt, right?
Right. That was their declaration of independence. That was their Revolutionary War. That was their moment of liberation. And it comes back to, the Old Testament comes back to, that's what the Passover is all about, that God delivered his people from Egypt through a series, not just the miracle of the Red Sea, but
right,
got the 10 plagues, a series of mighty miracles. So it's completely impossible. If you take the Bible literally, truly, as the honest word of God, there's no way you can say it didn't happen, or it's just a myth, or it's a legend, because everything that God created, he took these Hebrew slaves and brought them out of Egypt and made them into the nation of Israel. That's where Israel comes from. So it has to be true.
Yeah. Wesley, I'm kind of like you in the sense that I don't know why these liberal theologians and, excuse me, theologians, that's a new word, liberal.
Write that one down.
Say, yeah, write it down.
Will you spell that for me?
Theologians. All right, so
it's the popcorn.
Theologians.
Sure.
I don't, why people care so much to try to disprove the Bible.
Right.
Or try to mock it, or say that it can't be true because of all these supernatural things that happened.
Sure.
When the essence of God is supernatural.
Right.
The very essence of God is supernatural. So, sure.
If
you don't believe in the supernatural, then obviously you wouldn't believe in any of the Bible.
And Christian thinking left untouched doesn't hurt anybody. Nobody's harmed.
No, it's actually good for society.
That's
that people don't kill, yeah, steal, and murder.
Right, yeah, exactly.
And, you know, all those. I don't know. I think
it's just an oxymoron to say a Christian
liberal
theologian.
Yeah, I know.
Sinful nature keeps us from God. Pride, yeah, especially.
Sure.
Yeah, like Ray said.
Well,
go ahead, Ray. Go ahead.
You know, part of the problem is that if you start with a purely humanistic mindset,
that's fair.
You're greatly troubled by the concept of a miracle. Because the concept of a miracle says that there's a God who not only creates, quote, what we call the laws of nature,
yep.
He can work within them, he can work outside of them. And the liberal theologians do all they can to attack not just the Exodus, but did you hear what, the way Frank gave his answer I thought was so interesting. He said, Jesus who rose from the dead said, this is true.
Mm-hmm.
And he actually said that twice, because the greatest miracle is not the crossing of the Red Sea. Far greater miracle, here's a man who was dead, completely, absolutely dead, and on the third day, he came out of the grave, alive from the dead, healthy, restored by his heavenly Father, never to die again. And that, Wesley, that flies in the face of the humanistic mindset. So they attack the very notion of the miraculous. But let me say this, friends. If you take the miracles out of the Bible, all you have left is a religious club of people saying nice things to each other. Take the miraculous out of Christianity, and it doesn't exist anymore. We might as well just go out and have a garden party. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, if the Bible isn't true, if they really didn't cross the Red Sea, then remember what Paul said. Paul said, if Jesus didn't rise, then your faith is in vain, and we are of all men most miserable. I know some people say, well, even if Jesus isn't real, it's still better to be a Christian. I don't think that was Paul's point of view at all. I think Paul's point of view is it's great to be a Christian because it is true. Jesus did die, and he did rise from the dead.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen, brother. Amen. And, you know, these folks who just want to give their, dedicate their lives to trying to disprove the Bible. I mean, what point? That's like giving your life. If you believe it's a fantasy or a myth or
then it should be a waste of time to discuss.
Why do you want to? Yeah. It's like spending your days trying to disprove Santa Claus or something. Or
leprechauns. You don't hear people arguing against leprechauns.
I saw that one news report, though, where they claimed they found a leprechaun.
You know, another thing, and then we'll,
I hadn't seen that yet.
We'll move on here. But another thing to consider when you're somebody who's genuinely seeking God, and maybe you're an agnostic or, you know, a skeptic or someone who's, as they say, searching for what the true meaning of life is and what's real. And that in the consideration of whether the Bible is true or not, historically, I would ask you this question. That is, how do you explain the Jews still being around today? All right? Here we have a people Ray, would you call the Jews an ethnicity or a race, or what's the correct
terminology?
Well, you can certainly call them an ethnic group. You can call them a race. They are a distinct people after all these thousands of years.
And they're still here. Bible, all these people in the Bible, they're not, you know, you don't read about them anymore, except the Jews.
Right. You go back to the book of Genesis, and when you come into the land, you're going to be surrounded by the Amorites,
right,
the Perizzites, the Hivites, the Hittites, the Girgashites. Right. All the Ait brothers are gone.
Yeah.
All those groups
right.
have disappeared from the face of, they are gone.
Right.
But the Jewish people are still here. And that, by the way, is an argument Charles Haddon Spurgeon made back in the 1880s, that one of the great proofs of the Bible is that God's people, the Jews, are still here. God's promises to them are still in effect.
And you can go to Saudi Arabia or Egypt, as Ray said, but you can also go, as we do, and Ray, as you've been, to the Holy Land itself, to Israel, and
right.
travel around Israel and see evidence of the thousands of years of biblical reality.
That's right.
That they've excavated in the land of Israel, the place where Jesus lived. You can go and see all this.
Jericho's there still.
Yes, Jericho, still named Jericho. You know, so go to Jerusalem.
Go to Jerusalem, yeah. Right? Go to the Western Wall, the Wailing Wall. Look down there. Those are the foundation stones at the bottom of Herod's temple, the temple that Jesus walked in, ministered in during his days 2,000 years ago.
Yeah.
I mean, they've excavated the steps. They've excavated some of the streets that Jesus had to have walked on.
Yes. I mean, still call the Mount of Olives.
Yeah,
that's right.
The Mount of Olives you read about in the Bible, you go there today to Israel, to Jerusalem, guess what? Probably your first day, they're driving the bus so you can overlook the old city from the Mount of Olives.
That's right.
So
Shepherd's Fields,
go to the Garden of Gethsemane, all that.
Gethsemane, so, right. It's still there, fascinating. Right where it was.
It is. There's a lot of very, very good evidence for God's word being true. Let me mention and my final thoughts on this conversation, there's three individuals and three websites that I've used the most over the years, and I'm thankful for their commitment to the apologetics. And
you mean along the line of apologetics?
On the line of apologetics. Okay. I've used their websites and their books over the last couple of years, and more important, or even more cool, they're connected with the ministry of AFR. They're on our network, and that is, obviously, we had Frank Turk on, so crossexamine.org. Ray's website I've used for years, keepbelieving.com. That is keepbelieving.com. And lastly, alexmcfarland.com. Those are the three gentlemen I've read their books and their website. They got a lot of really good content on the issues we're talking about.
And I recruited all three of those.
As you did.
So, I mean, you're welcome.
That's a complete distraction from the point I was making.
I just wanted to point it out. I don't want a lot of credit.
That's right.
I just don't want it to go unnoticed that I did recruit all three of those fellas to be on.
At this point, I don't know what to say to this anymore.
What?
No.
What, me mentioning that?
Yes.
Well, you brought it up.
Okay.
Oh. I was just saying, people may say, well, who recruited those guys to be on AFR?
Yeah.
And I just wanted people to know.
Just in case somebody asked.
Just wanted to know. All right. So, as you know, former President Jimmy Carter passed away a few days ago at the age of what, Chris?
He's 100.
Was he 100? He made 100?
And that's remarkable. I mean, he fought in World War II. He was a veteran.
Wow.
He had brain cancer. I mean, he was 100 years old.
He was 100 years old.
And good luck.
Flags across the country are in flying at half-mast out of remembering – President Jimmy Carter, who was president from 1976 to 1980. And they will take his body today, I believe, to Washington, D.C., to lie in state at the U.S. Capitol. Is that true?
Yes. And you can watch all these things on C-SPAN.
Yeah. Ray, Jimmy Carter... you know, his presidency was marred, to say the least, in a lot of problems. He's a nice fella, Jimmy Carter was, but he had a failed presidency by most standards.
Yeah. Most of the events you mentioned for him today and carrying out for the next several days are going to kick off this afternoon.
Ray, go ahead.
I remember living through the days of Jimmy Carter's presidency, super high inflation, his speech about the malaise in the nation. I agree with George Will that Jimmy Carter was the nation's answer to all the problems of Watergate and Richard Nixon. And George Will said, but without Jimmy Carter, problem president that he was, you wouldn't get Ronald Reagan. He set the table or set the stage for 8 years of a truly great American president. About Jimmy Carter, I would just say, look, he lived to be 100. That's an amazing thing.
Mm-hmm.
He apparently had a very good, happy marriage to Rosalynn for what? I don't know.
Right.
70-some years. And I think we all admired the fact he'd roll up his sleeves and do that Habitat for Humanity stuff after his presidency. But if you rate him as a president, you're going to rate him closer to the bottom than to the top.
Yeah. Not a lot of good things happened during those 4 years. Maybe the Bee Gees. I don't know. they happen. I think they, huh?
Eight tracks.
I'm trying to think of positive things.
If you're under 50, you don't even know who the Bee Gees are.
Saturday. Those guys that sing in really high voices.
That's right.
What was that Travolta, John Travolta movie that happened?
Saturday Night Fever?
Yeah, that bolted the Bee Gees to stardom. Anyway. All right, so anyway, former President Jimmy Carter.
You're owning now. You're just talking about stuff.
You don't even know what we're talking about now.
I've lost me.
I know we lost you. So, Chris, what else is happening in the news?
Well, you know, one of the things that people do to share their thoughts on the Bible or politics or presidents is to go to a social media platform. And for many years now, one of the places that people have turned to share their two cents about whatever it was they wanted to share their two cents on was to go to Facebook, also known as Meta. And I bring all this up because
it's not known as Meta, but you can call it that if you want.
Well, that's what they go by now. Like X is formerly known as Twitter.
Yeah, yes, I know.
But Meta, formerly known as Facebook, is ending its fact-check program and lifting restrictions on speech to, quote, restore free expression across Facebook, Instagram, and Meta platforms, admitting its current content moderation practices have gone too far. You can read about this on our own website, afn.net. In the meantime, here's a clip of Fox News legal contributor Jonathan Turley, clip 4.
It was really sent a chill up my spine because it made me wonder, what if Trump wasn't elected? What if this was the Harris administration? I wrote a column earlier that the Biden administration was the most anti-free speech administration since John Adams. But Kamala Harris promised to outdo that. Mm-hmm. And you really wonder, hearing that interview, what they would have done if, in fact, the election came out differently. The public spoke very loudly. And so that's the reason I'm hoping, regardless of the motivation, regardless of the fact that it's belated, we need help.
Okay, so again, what we're talking about here is Facebook, which is used by millions and millions of people around the world, and certainly millions of people here in the United States of America. This is a big announcement, folks, so don't miss it. Mark Zuckerberg, to his credit here, and there haven't been a lot of times I've credited Mark Zuckerberg, but to his credit, and the he's listened to the critics of what they've been doing, Facebook, using a third party fact checking company or people.
Yes.
Who are liberal, as the day is long. That's been the complaint of conservatives. So they're not neutral referees with pinstripe shirts on or whatever you want. Black and white striped shirts on, it's been one sided in favor of the liberals, kind of like Snopes, and so people have been complaining about this for years, and now Mark Zuckerberg has said, I'm not going to mess with this anymore. We're ending this. So does this mean
they went beyond fact checking? They also censored it. It's one thing to say wrong, this is right, and that's their opinion.
Like during COVID,
that's right,
yep. And other things.
Go ahead.
I was going to add to this.
I understand that at some point in the conversation of most conservatives, yes, we can criticize his motives to all this, but
to Zuckerberg's?
Zuckerberg's. And I say all this meaning backing up to August. If you remember in August, he admitted that the FBI pressured him and he fell for it.
He's been admitting a lot.
So we can question his motives on all this because Trump did win the popular vote, and the woke stuff is dying in corporate world.
Yes.
In fact, we've got a story on that. We'll bring in after at the top of the hour. Steve's got a story on a school teacher who won a court case. Tide's turned
against the woke.
So we're winning. Right. And so I do think he's seeing that and he's making adjustments. However, I just want to say, regardless of its motives, I'm happy to see that things like this, even if he did it for whatever reason, I'm glad to see things like this are happening.
Yes. Let me ask you this, Ray. If you're out on the water in a boat, the boat sends a wake, right?
Right.
And so I think with President Trump's election in November, there are big wakes going out across the country affecting many different areas that aren't necessarily directly related to presidential politics. And I think this is part of the wake of the president's President Trump's election is this the woke crowd is on the run.
Hey, they can read the election returns just like everybody else. America is not a left-wing country.
Right. Right.
We are not left. We are center
right. Right.
Okay. And that's why Donald Trump defeated Kamala Harris and a sweeping victory across the country. And I think these corporations that had given in to pressure and the DEI policies and all that, we're beginning to see a turnaround because they've got a new president in office. And by the way, how soon are we going to buy Greenland? That's my next question.
Yeah, that's right. We got a list here now, Ray. We got a list. We got Canada.
Oh,
we're going to make Greenland, them the 51st
Greenland.
State.
Greenland, and then we're going to get Panama.
We got the Panama Canal.
We got to reset here. Yes, yeah, so we've got our list. We're going to got four
that's
years.
Right. Oh my goodness,
couple more years. That's
we've
right.
Got three, we've got three.
Hey,
three states.
Don't ever say Trump isn't ambitious.
Never. Oh,
no. I mean, so
he said the
he's not talking. Taking over by military. He's talking about. He's a real estate guy.
He's got Don Juniors in Greenland today.
Yeah. We'll share the link.
Some kind of deal. Up there.
To buy Greenland.
The art of the deal.
You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues. We're here on the American Family Radio Network Monday through Friday. Fridays we have Trivia Friday, but Monday through Thursdays we have the news of the day. We discuss that here, and we thank you for joining us on American Family Radio. Tim, Wesley, Chris, and Ray. Hey, in all seriousness, Don Jr. is in Greenland,
he
right?
Is.
Mm-hmm. What is he over there for?
He's over there to meet with people about the U.S. acquiring Greenland.
You're serious?
I'm dead serious. It was on Fox, but other outlets have it as well.
Let me just say this.
Here we go.
A lot of things that we laugh at, which deserve laughter,
sure.
Like the idea of the United States buying Greenland.
That's right.
Is something that maybe wouldn't happen in total, but maybe Don Jr. and his dad, President Trump, are thinking we can that there's maybe some natural resources that exist in Greenland that would be advantageous to the United States that we can buy the rights to. I don't know. Or maybe there's some kind of military outpost that we think we need going into the future.
It is three times the size of Texas.
What, Greenland? What?
Yes.
Well, Greenland is actually the largest island in the world.
Is it considered?
People would say, no, you're wrong, Tim. Australia is.
Here's something Ray will relate to. It's 85% ice.
I'm sure that's right.
He needed that reminder, Chris.
He did.
Thank you.
What's the capital of Greenland? I'm just sitting here thinking, I know Reykjavik, but that's Iceland.
That's Iceland.
Hold on.
Does anybody know the capital of Greenland? I have no idea.
According to the internet, it's Nuuk, and I'm sure I just mispronounced that.
Nuuk, Greenland.
N-U-U-K.
So you're talking about Don Jr. landed in Nuuk? So to talk. Anyway, so, what I'm saying is I don't think President Trump would send Don Jr. over to Greenland for just a stunt, although it seems like maybe that's – I think probably they would be talking about something like what I'm discussing. And it's not crazy to – look around the world and go, hey, you know, where can we, the United States, have a greater presence?
Well, Greenland is owned. Is that the right word? It's owned by Denmark?
That's right. That's right.
Is it really?
That's right.
There is a connection.
Oh, so maybe
there.
He's in Denmark.
There's a well. But just last week, the premier of Greenland, whose name I do not know, announced that Greenland wanted more autonomy from Denmark. So. Things are moving, Tim. Things are shaking.
How many people live in...
Hold on.
Type in maybe, population of, green, of Greenland.
Trump Tower, Nuuk, yeah. Greenland.
It's more than you think.
How many people... Oh, it's more than I think.
Resort.
Okay.
Well, how many people do you think live there?
I have no idea. I'm just going to guess, Chris. Okay. This is a total guess. I ask you what the total population of Greenland
my
is.
My wife says I don't have a poker face, so you can't look at
okay.
me.
Okay. I'm going to guess... 2 million.
Hold on. Over, under, right? Go.
Under. Got to be under.
Okay, under. Right? You got a number? I got a number.
Oh, you mean a million? You're more like a million or less?
I'm going to say 600,000.
Okay.
I was going to say about
We're talking humans now, not polar bears,
right?
Seals,
penguins.
I was going to say 200,000.
Okay, so
I Googled
who's closest,
and according to Google, this was more than I thought
I think
would be
Ray's
there.
Ray's going to be the closest.
56,865.
All right,
well, we were all off. Way
that was more than I thought would be there, though.
Yeah,
I actually met all a missionary to Greenland one time.
What?
Okay, we got 40,000 live in Tupelo. Mm-hmm. So
well,
Tupelo's almost
we're almost as big as Greenland.
We swell to 2 million every day on I-22, and
so do we question the intelligence of 56,000 people that live in?
I pride myself on knowing geography and history and. And what things of the world, and I just
56,000. Just tell Don, make a deal. Yeah. Let's go over there. Make a deal. Make them an offer.
2 million. I don't know where I got that from. Maybe I was throwing Copenhagen in there.
That's right.
Because didn't you say Denmark? Have I got Copenhagen in Denmark? I got that right at least, didn't I, Ray?
Let's offer 50 million in the NFL franchise.
Yeah. All right, Dad.
The Jaguars.
Look up Copenhagen real quick. Look up Copenhagen.
Move the Dolphins to Greenland.
You mean the Dolphins to Greenland? That's right. Okay. We can make a deal. We can make this work.
Listeners, over the break, ask yourself what constitutes an island.
Greenland's bigger than Australia. I think I'm right on that one. We'll be back in 5 minutes. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.